Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Because for the first time in the history of the NBA, a finals game was played outside the U.S., and the team that lives outside the U.S., the Toronto Raptors, have come away with a win.
Dale Arnold.
Make them pay. Score on the power play when Grizzlick takes the hit.
The Department of Player Safety has suspended Oscar Sundquist for one playoff game.
Rich Keefe.
Big Z looks a little slower, but you guys aren't winning without him in your lineup, I don't think.
Dale and Keefe.
So if you were going to have a tattoo of any professional athlete, what tattoo would it be?
Dave Steve.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. It's a Falls Count Anywhere Friday, so we've talked about the Stanley Cup playoff. We've talked, evidently, about the Dork podcast.
And AEW.
Whether Keefe's going to do a podcast about
Hangman Page.
AEW.
Yeah, that's not on the short list yet, but
if you're going to talk Penelope Ford, maybe I'll tune it in.
Well, now that you brought up the Dork podcast, we had Game of Thrones recap this week. We're going to do a Brightburn episode, and we might do a Godzilla episode next week as well.
That looks good.
Godzilla's out this week. Yeah, or this weekend.
Speaking of Game of Thrones recap, I will say this, and I texted these guys last night. On HBO, they have a special after the final episode of Game of Thrones. It's called The Final Watch, and it's basically 2 hours long, but it's a documentary about the making of season 8. I mean, this starts with, you know, the first table read before the season, mm-hmm. where they're all sitting around the table, and it's really weird seeing them look like they normally do. And
yeah, like not in costume at
like
all.
Like my wife says, wait a minute, that's Cersei?
Like that's her. I haven't seen it yet, but I've seen a bunch of the clips on Twitter, and one of the best was when the guy who plays Varys was reading like over his last stuff, and he could tell he was like, the writing sucks on this show. Like, you could tell he was just thinking that, like, really? We've done five and a half great seasons, and then this is how it's going to end? He was mad.
So the guy that they brought back to direct half of season 8 was the guy who also directed The Red Wedding. And, you know, he's been some of the big episodes, but he was out for a couple of years. He had back surgeries, and even in this little documentary, he's kind of walking strange. His back is obviously messed up.
Oh, interesting.
But he came back to direct like 4 of the 8 episodes in the final season. The amount of stuff that goes in. I mean,
the amount of people that are on that and all the locations,
costumes,
and everything.
Sets.
Yeah, you don't even really think about it until you see just how many people it takes. Like, you just watch through the end credits. It's like a movie every single time. There's that many people.
When
on
they
it.
Built King's Landing in a parking lot in Belfast.
Pretty cool.
It's just, anyway, if you were a fan, you might like to go back and see what some of it looked like afterwards. Because it's kind of fun to see how they make the magic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty complicated. Some of the special effects.
There's a lot
stuff
going on there.
They didn't show any of the faux pas. They didn't show the Starbucks cup.
They didn't do
sitting
that,
in front of Danny. They didn't show the plastic water bottle.
What do they feed
behind
the,
Samwell?
What do they feed the dragons when they're not working? Did they show
they
that?
They didn't show them a lot. Peeta's going to get involved.
Is he really hot
you know,
about
because
it?
It's
you can't
lot,
chain them up.
Hey, we need some more sheep over here.
That was the problem for a lot of the seasons. They were just chained up. I didn't like that.
Do we ever see them eat as adults?
Yeah.
Adult dragons?
Yeah, we've seen them eat like goats and stuff, remember?
But wasn't that when they were smaller?
No, they were big. And then remember, because the one of the guys went up to Danny and was like, oh, like they've only ate like 8 goats and like 10 lambs or whatever. And she's
that's
like,
right.
Oh, they're not eating. And then you saw like some of the bones and stuff.
And that's when they flew over and made sweet love in front of them.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah.
Maybe the weirdest scene in television history. Let's be real.
Pretty dumb.
There's just dumb. A dragon watching people... Just make out and
a real
touch.
Looker. Drogon. Very interested in that kind of thing.
I will say the highlight of the entire 2-hour special.
Yeah.
No spoilers here. You know, the last episode of Game of Thrones has been out for quite a while. They're doing the table read, and all of the stars are all sitting around a giant table, and they've got little name cut placards
like
in front of them.
Who they are, yeah.
And it's got their real name, and it's got their, you know, their
character,
their show name. And you can tell as you watch it that Kit Harington learns at the table read that he kills Danny. He really didn't know.
I don't know how he didn't see that coming. I really don't. He's been playing that character for how many years, and he didn't realize that was going to happen?
He apparently did not know. That was cool, and the moment when at the table read, everybody realized that Arya gets to kill the Night King.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And everybody starts yelling and screaming and cheering and everything.
That's a big deal.
Where they didn't know. I will say, there's one other strange thing. Who the Night King is.
Oh, the guy?
Yeah.
Was he famous?
No.
Well, why would he be?
He's the stunt coordinator.
Well, it makes sense.
He was you know, coordinating the stunts on the show,
right?
The choreographer of the stunts, and they said, "Hey, you want to be the Night King?"
But he didn't do any stunts. He never fought anybody with a sword the whole series. He didn't do anything.
Well, he
threw a spear.
He threw
a dragon.
Spear last season. He never got into a sword fight. He didn't do anything.
Maybe
he didn't need
to
be a stunt guy. Could have been Rossi. Paint up Rossi. Put little horns on his head. Poor man's Darth
Rossi,
Maul.
You'd have been good. You weren't tall enough, though.
Yeah,
He didn't do anything. That was awful. That was one of the worst.
Stop yelling. Maybe they explain why not.
Yeah. Why did you choose to make one of the great villains of all time useless? Why did you
just sort of stand there?
Just gonna walk towards Bran, then turn around, get stabbed in the rib, and you're dead. Who was he? What was his story? What was the motivation? What were those symbols that he was laying out? Those mean anything to anybody?
Watch the prequel. That's what it's all going to be about.
It was weird, too.
That's so dumb.
You'd be on set and they'd show, and they'd say, cut! And Bran would put his glasses back on and get up out of the chair and walk off.
It was not method, apparently.
Wait a minute. What is that?
See, if I was acting like that, I'd have to go full character. They'd have to call me Bran. I would never wear my glasses. I'd be in the chair all day. I'd bring Hodor back to carry me around everywhere I went. That's what I would do.
That'd be good.
Just to stay in the character.
All right, let's get back to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Mike's in Draken. Hey, Mike.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good.
What's going on?
Good, good. Two things. One about the Bruins and one about you, Dale, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So,
nice.
Bruins. the total mental breakdown is what I'm calling it for Wednesday night.
Okay.
That can't be repeated because, I mean, I've never seen Marshawn play a worse game even in the regular season. I don't know about you, Dale, or Keith, but I haven't seen him play that bad.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, Mike, and I'm asking this seriously, I'm not being a smart aleck when I ask this. Do you think we hadn't seen the Bruins lose a game in like 3 weeks? So they go out there and throw up a stinker. By the way, their first line doesn't play well. Their second line doesn't play well. And yet St. Louis still had to win in overtime by a goal. And we've turned this into Armageddon. This is the end of the hockey world as we know it.
Yeah, I'm not on the cliff there. No. I just think, yeah, I agree with that, Dale. I could agree with that. I don't understand why people think that people that said that it was going to go five games are now jumping to seven. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, I still think they're going to win in five or six. You know, I don't have to get off the fence to pick one, but I think that's what's going to happen.
I don't think anybody's going to judge you if you don't.
Yeah.
It's
what
okay.
What's your question about Dale?
Actually, it's not a question. It's just a statement, if you guys don't mind.
Please.
So, Dale, I've been listening to you since I was in my 20s, and that was in the 90s, early 90s. All right, I'm just about 52 now, and I've been dying to tell you this for years and years and years. I loved listening to you on the telecast. You know, when I grew up, it was Fred and Cusick and Pearson, and then. You know, and then you came in, and you know, I know Fred and Derek did it for a bit, and then you came in, and I absolutely loved it. You're like, to me anyways, you're like an icon in this city, and I just want to say thanks. I loved it when you did the Red Sox game, what was it, a week and a half or so ago. I thought it was totally awesome. I even tweeted out how good it was to hear you, and hopefully that Jack Edwards would take a sick day next the hockey season. But I just really just wanted to say thank you.
Well, that's very nice of you, Mike. Thank you very much.
Rack 'em. Rack 'em.
Take as long as you want.
Good job. That was a hell of a call.
That was very nice, and I appreciate
the
send of it. You're welcome, Rich.
Thank you. You hear that? Icon. Also, at one point, he was referred to as the Godfather, which I know Glenn probably drove off the road when he heard that. But Godfather, icon. Is there one that you prefer, Dale? Is there one kind of moniker?
Night King.
You are the Night King.
I would like to.
We don't know your backstory. We don't know the backstory. Yeah. Thank you. That was a tremendous call. He had a good Bruins take. Then he wanted to shift gears, talk about the history of Dale, the icon. Loves you doing games, the whole thing. So thank you for listening. That was very kind.
It was excessively kind, yeah. And I appreciate it.
We're going to replay that the next hour and the hour after.
I can imagine,
that.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Or at least during Week in Review so you can mock me unmercifully, which is what we do
thought
here.
That was very good.
Mike's in Wakefield. Hey, Mike.
Gentlemen, what's going on?
Mike, what's up?
First of all, Keith, you should know the dragons eat what they want.
That's true.
Right?
I've heard that as well. That's a good point.
Yep. Second of all...
Why do you have to feed them? Just let them go.
They just really do.
Exactly. Great point, Dale. Okay, guys, here's the question of the week, all right?
Yep.
Would you rather get donkey kicked in the balls or take a slap shot from Zdeno Chara in the face?
I don't want... Well... Oh, boy.
It's a valid, you know...
Would you rather
tester.
Get a, let's just say, a kick downstairs or take a Chara slap shot to the face?
Probably
the kick downstairs, I think.
I don't know.
Well, I already got one kid on the way, so...
So you're good.
That could be. Maybe that'll be
That's it. I'm good.
I don't know.
One is pain for a little while. One is your face is destroyed.
Your face destroyed. Does Chara still get it up there like he used to?
Oh, yeah.
Are we talking about the sticks,
100
though?
Miles an hour? I'm talking about the slap shot.
Oh.
Speed. Rossi, speed.
Yeah, he still shoots.
He still cranks it pretty good.
You don't see a lot of him all the time. No, because he's afraid of killing one of his own teammates.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, he also doesn't play on the power play anymore.
No, that is so, right. That's when you'd see it the most. So I guess I'd go with...
It's a dilemma.
It is a real thinker. I think I'd go with the kick downstairs.
I don't know.
Does it have to be from a donkey, or does it have, can it
well,
be
Well, that
from,
was the way it was posed.
Yeah. They're a nasty creature, so...
I think that would hurt more.
Well, because if you take a slap shot to the nose or to the eye, forget about it.
I don't want the eye.
Forget about it.
You have a better chance of dying with the slap shot, right?
Yes, I think so. And like real permanent damage. Well, there's permanent damage in both
cases.
There's
a lot of...
Yeah. I think you have that stomach ache for like 20 minutes and then you move on.
For the rest of your life.
A never-ending groin kick stomach ache. You'd be in a lot of trouble. That's true.
But. So what did we decide?
I'm going with the downstairs. Right. I don't want the slap shot to the face.
Well, if I had more control over where in the face it hit me,
yeah,
I'd probably pick the slap shot to the face.
Yeah.
Like if I could get it on the cheek or get it on the forehead. I don't want an eye.
An eye
forehead,
or
forehead? That thing's going through your head.
What about your teeth? It would just ruin your whole mouth.
That'd be awful,
too. You don't
want
that at all.
He's nuts.
I'm surprised that stuff doesn't happen more. Like we talk about it, like every few games, you know, a player gets hit. Or like when Chara got hit the other day and you know, he had a little cut on his wrist or whatever.
And it starts gushing.
I'm always like, how does that not happen all, like, every period? Because that's the whole idea. It's like, oh, traffic in front of the net. And the pucks are going a million miles an hour. Like, how are guys not just getting crushed all the time?
An opportunity for Rossi to mock me with Dale's tales.
Here we go. Cue the music.
A New Jersey Devils player by the name of Craig Willanen.
I'll play along.
Well, and when I was there, he was a player there. First round pick, all that stuff. And he took a shot in the middle of the forehead.
Ugh, terrible.
And they carted him off to the hospital. And after the game was over, I went over to the hospital, you know, to check on him because he and I lived with the same family in New Jersey at the time.
Oh,
he lived across the hall from me.
So
I'm concerned about Craig. I go to the hospital.
Real Bull Durham situation.
Yeah. He's in the emergency room, laying on the table with his hockey gear all on.
Really?
And so, you know, they're getting ready to start working on him. And I go, Craig, you okay? And he sits up and he looks like he's taken a bullet.
Oh, my God.
Right in the middle of the forehead. There is a hole in the middle of his forehead.
Disgusting.
And I'm thinking, this is not a good thing.
No, you don't want that at all. So there's blood pouring out.
Oh, yeah, it was ugly. So I'm actually thinking at that point, now that I think back to the hole in the middle of Craig Willanen's forehead.
Kick downstairs. You want the kick downstairs.
Maybe the donkey to the... Thank you.
Life is like a hurricane here in Dale's world. Hockey takes and Roman reigns. It's a Dale world. Might solve a mystery, rewrite sports history, Tales, woo!
There's where we were going.
Really nice. Really well done. Now, how much do you think the Bruins saw what happened to Grizzlick and how he got absolutely crushed? Now, you can look at this a couple of different ways, because that happened late first period, and not that they're going to necessarily go, oh, eye for an eye, we're going to hurt somebody. But as far as just being physical, like, is there more motivation to do that in game three because what happened to Grizzlick? I would initially say yes, but they also had two periods to do it in game two.
Here's what I think will happen tomorrow night in St. Louis. I think the game's going to start like game two of the Toronto series. That was the game where Zdeno Chara laid out Riley Nash right off the opening face-off.
Columbus.
Yep. And there was this kaboom.
Yeah.
And I think the Bruins are going to try to set the tone early and say, you know what, you can bring it, but we can play physical too.
Yeah.
We're not going to just receive for the next 60 minutes.
And they did that too, and that was the guy too. Like, that Riley Nash hit David Krejci really hard the game before, and then they went after him. Now, obviously, you can't do it to Sundqvist because he is suspended for this game, but you can just pick anybody else.
Well, and game two of Toronto as well, now that I think back on that one as well, remember that's the game where Pasternak hit a guy. I mean, they started out hitting every Maple Leaf player that moved. They set the tone physically. They were rocking every... I think the Bruins are going to set a physical tone at the start of tomorrow night's game.
Yeah.
To just kind of re-seize some of that from... Because that's the one thing, if you're looking through these first two games, you say, that's the one advantage St. Louis has.
They have,
they can
yeah.
be more physical.
Right, but you hope that it doesn't turn into what Carolina did, because Carolina said, oh, we got to be physical, and then that's all they were worried about. Like, they weren't even, like, hey, guys, the puck is over here, or, like, you know, make a play. They were just trying to throw their weight around. I don't think the Bruins will do that, but that could be the one thing that you have to catch yourself on, because if you're so worried about throwing a big hit around, well, are you going to miss some opportunities to, you know, actually score?
I'll be curious about one potential lineup change for the Bruins for tomorrow night. Not on defense. You know that Matt Grizzlick's not going to play. I'm almost sure it'll be John Moore.
Right.
That one's kind of cut and dried. If I were Bruce Cassidy, I would consider another change.
Really?
And this would be hard. You're in St. Louis. I would consider replacing David Backes with Carson Kuhlman.
Oh, boy. I don't do it because of what we were just talking about and how physical you want to be, and it might be Backes that throws the hit. I think Backes, at least for game three, you have to see what that does to him. I think the team will also rally around him, knowing what it means for him and all that other stuff. I think I need as many physical guys as possible. So now, if you lose game three, I could see it popping him out for game four, but I'm definitely playing Backes in game three.
See, if I were Cassidy,
really?
That's what I'd look at doing. Now, that's a hard one. You gotta look David Backes in the eye for the Stanley Cup final game in St. Louis, where he was the captain for 6 years, and say, David, we're going to replace you in the lineup tonight. And Cassidy hasn't been afraid to do that sort of thing this year. The second line was better when Carson Kuhlman was playing there.
Yeah.
It was more productive.
Okay. I was going to say, because it wasn't exactly a house of fire, really, at any point. But he has only been out there, Backes, for three total losses. Right? Like, so you won all these games in a row, and who was in the lineup every time? Now, he's playing some nights 8 minutes, sometimes ten minutes. So it's not like he's the most important guy. I'm just saying he's been a part of that winning streak. So you lose, or I'm sorry, you win eight in a row. Now you lose the game. I'm not swapping anybody out. Now, again, you have one that you have to do, but I'm going to keep him out there, especially there's so much build for him. Not only is it against this team, so he's gotten those two games out of the way, but and I think he's looked fine. Like, he actually had the biggest hit for the Bruins in game two, you know, so I think I would definitely see what he can do in game three.
I think my problem is, other than that, I don't see what he's bringing.
No, he's not. I mean, but is Carson Kuhlman really bringing a whole
he's
lot
more,
to the table?
He's more skilled offensively.
Yeah.
But and by the way, he's not small either.
No, he's not. Yeah, he's not like a little guy, but I think Backes could. I think that still is important. Now, you know, you're not playing him on the power play. He's not killing penalties. Every once in a while, you can throw Pasternak on that second line for a little bit. So he's only going to play, again, 8 to 10 minutes anyway. But, you know, that place is going to be going crazy. And I think if he throws some big hits, I think it means even more because of who it is and where he's doing it.
When I look at the four forward lines for the Bruins, I'm probably not messing with three of them. Fourth line, I'm not doing anything to.
No.
Third line, I'm not touching. First line, they are, you know, one of the best lines in hockey. You're going to stick with them.
I think you have to now.
If you're going to make a change, it's going to be on the second line. You could make an argument about DeBrusque. I understand that. He hasn't done much either. But I think DeBrusque is more of an offensive threat. He's more of a threat to score than Backes is.
Yeah, no, he definitely is. I mean, at this point of his career, for sure. So Backes played in four games in the Toronto series. They went 2-2. He played in three games in the Columbus series. They won all three. He played in all four of the sweep against Carolina, and then now 1-1 here in the Cup final. So I would go with him one more time, but I think that would be a change. If you go down 2-1, especially if it's a game where you're really struggling to score, and to then at that point maybe I would make the switch. But I'm sticking with him for one more game.
I just, as I said, I wouldn't mess with the three.
No.
I wouldn't touch them.
No, that's really the only other option, right? Because that was sort of what they tinkered with before. Now, because you don't have, Wagner's not an option. Like, you don't have him.
And the problem was in Wednesday's loss, when both first and second lines were struggling, one of the things Cassidy did for a while is he flipped the right wings. He put Pastrnak down with Krejci and DeBrusk, and he put Backes with Marchand and Bergeron, and I'm thinking,
that's not helping those guys.
That's not going
to... No.
Where at least Coleman's got some offensive skill and some speed, where theoretically, you know, could maybe do something. I'm not saying Backes is useless here. He brings an important element to the table. But I'm not sure that, you know, the one thing that he brings is going to make the difference for you right now.
Well, and I think if he has anything left to give, if he has any kind of goals left in him in his career, wouldn't it be in St. Louis? Like, I just, that whole storyline thing, like, I would love to see him just get that opportunity. You know, he's talked about how what a disappointment it was to never play in a Stanley Cup final with that team, which he was with forever. He was the captain forever. And now it's on the other side of it. And for him to be in that building, I'd love to give him the chance. Because, you know, I mean, that's just, if he scored a goal tomorrow night, and this is a guy who has, what, two in the whole postseason, or one or two in the whole postseason. But if he scored a goal tomorrow night, it wouldn't shock me, and it'd be such a storybook kind of thing that I would like to see if that happens.
When I ran this by a pretty good hockey analyst earlier today, he said something similar to you. He said, I'd probably play Backes in game three.
Yeah.
But
you got to think, if you lose game three, you have to really consider. You got to, you know. Can't just stand by everything, and that would be an obvious kind of switch. But I'm trying it out for tomorrow night and hoping for the best.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. There was a lot of back and forth on the morning show today, picking up on my point yesterday that, in my opinion, the St. Louis Blues ran Tuukka Rask twice in Game 2 on Wednesday. We'll talk to a former NHL goaltender. Andrew Raycroft will give us his opinion on if the Blues are running Rask, and if they are, how do you respond? And as Keith said, what effect does it have on a goaltender if you're getting run? We'll get to Andrew in just a few minutes. Back to your calls on the other side. But first, we've got a trend.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Coverage of the Bruins and Stanley Cup Final on WEEI is brought to you by your New England Toyota dealers and Atlantic Power Cleaning. Joining us on the line right now is one of my Nesson colleagues, one of our hockey analysts on Boston Bruins coverage, former Bruins goaltender Andrew Raycroft. Hey, Andrew.
Morning, guys.
How you doing?
Excellent, thanks. Beautiful Friday here in Boston.
All right, let's start with a simple question. Do you think the St. Louis Blues were running Tuukka Rask in Game 2?
Simplest answer, yes, in the modern-day version. You know, when I hear running goalie, I think of the 90s and the early 2000s when you ran a goalie to start a bench-clearing brawl, right? You remember those days, Dale, when you know, you'd send a guy out and he'd just run the goalie over without the puck in play. But the modern day version is alive and well in the fact, and the best way for you to measure is what I look for is whether the player's skates are pointing at the goaltender or they're parallel to the net. Is he trying to cut across the front of the net and make a play with the hockey, with the puck, or is he driving right to the net and not stopping? You know, his feet not pulling up and stopping. And the second period, Schwartz's penalty, he had no intention of stopping. You know, he was hoping that maybe the puck could hit him or maybe someone would bump into him. He'd be able to get a little more leverage on Tuukka, but there's no question his intent was to go through the net.
What kind of effect can that have on a goalie?
At this point, not much. You know, it can be, if anything, it gets frustrating, a little annoying. But more so, more like Coach Cassidy talked about, like, make them pay on those kind of plays. As a goaltender, you're down at the other end. You just want these guys, all right, make these guys pay for being stupid. And when that doesn't happen, it can be a little annoying, a little frustrating. But it's not like anyone's going to get in Tuukka's head or he's going to pull up at this point. He knows he has to stand in there. And if he takes a couple bumps, he's willing to do that for the Stanley Cup.
You mentioned old-time hockey, and in the days when you were playing, if you got ran, there was a pretty good chance the goaltender at the other end was going to get nudged at some point. Should the Bruins be putting more of that into play?
I don't think they can go out of their way to do it. You know, I just think the game's too fast now. I think there's too many, you know, there's too much going on. But without question, we've seen over the playoffs already, Binnington's, you know, had an issue with, you know, in Dallas with Bishop, and you know, he's a guy who is feisty, and he can, you might be able to rattle him a little bit and not rattle him to the point where he's, you know, off his game and he's going to give up terrible goals, but just to the point where, you know, you just get him fired up and get his emotions going a little bit more than normal and see what happens. But for the Bruins, they can't put that at the top of the chalkboard come Saturday night. I think they just have to keep playing their game, but they have to get to the net. They have to get pressure on Binnington. He was good the other night.
After the really long layoff, how do you think Tuukka has looked? Two games, both pretty different. You know, only 20 shots faced in game one, 37 in game two. But after coming off of just two incredible rounds, how do you think he's looked so far?
I think he's looked good. You know, he's done what he needed to. It's a different matchup. It's a different matchup from Carolina. It's a different matchup from Columbus as well, offensively. And for Tuukka, I mean, specifically, and the fact that Carolina and Columbus were teams that put a lot of pucks on net. You know, a lot of point shots, a lot of wristers from the outside. So you're able to get into the game. I think game one was a good example of St. Louis isn't that kind of team. You know, they have a lot of pressure in front of the net. They have a lot of guys going, but they cycle the puck more. They don't necessarily just throw it at the net. They like to keep that possession in the offensive zone a little bit more. And again, I think the goal in overtime is a good example of that. Tuukka was exhausted by the time that point shot came through with traffic on top of it. And he didn't get any shots, but he had to work extra hard. Whereas maybe in the Carolina series, he might have got four or five shots in the same amount of time, which makes you, as a goaltender, not feel like you're working as hard. So it's a different matchup, and I think Tuukka's done a good job in the first two games, you know, adapting to that.
We're talking with former Bruins goaltender Andrew Raycroft, one of my Nesson colleagues. When you went into this series, what were the areas, if any, where you thought the Blues had an advantage over the Bruins?
My thinking was that big defenseman. You know, I didn't think, and not necessarily a market advantage, but just the advantage that the Bruins hadn't played six big, strong, solid defensemen yet. You know, a group that could roll out against any three of those pairings can roll out against the Bergeron line or the Krejci line or the Coyle line and do a good job on them. So I think that was one of the advantages. I think we saw that a little bit in the first two games and the fact that, you know, there's no really good matchup where Patrice or Krejci are licking their chops and saying, oh, you know, we're going to have to puck this whole shift. And they've had that, you know, in other series so far. So I think that's the one thing that, makes St. Louis a tough out because they can roll. They have the depth on that back end.
What do you think of Jordan Binnington, and how does he compare to some of the other goalies the Bruins have faced so far this postseason?
He's good. I don't think he's in the same class as Bobrovsky, but obviously his team is in front of him is a little more solid, especially in the defensive zone. But Binnington's, you know, these guys have rallied around him. And more than, you know, so a lot of it's the character of the off-ice stuff rather than what he's doing on the ice. I think these guys just really believe in him. You know, he's come in and he's been a, you know, he's a 5-year pro rookie. So he's been around the organization. Guys respect the fact that he's grinded as hard as he has to get to this point. And they love his confidence. And there's no reason not to at this point. So, you know, I think he just does a good job playing behind the team, doesn't give up any free ones. And he's shown that in the last two games.
It's clear that the Bruins' top line has not performed like the top line so far in this series. They're a combined -7 in the two games. Other than the empty net goal by Brad Marchand, have not put the puck in the back of the net. What are you seeing that's causing them to be ineffective right now?
I think it's similar to the Columbus series, the first couple games. I think they're just doing a little bit too much with the puck. You know, I know everyone's talked, I heard you guys talking about the 2-on-1 Marchand had in the second. You know, a lot of times he puts that on net. There was a play in the first period where Brad got the puck on the wall and he made three guys miss and then he tried to make the fourth guy miss, where usually you make two guys miss and then he makes a pass to Pastrnak and they get into the zone. So, you know, I think they're going to simplify a little bit. I think, you know, they understand the pressure that's on them to score, but they've gone through this, and I think if any line can have the benefit of the doubt, it's these guys at this point.
Would you make any lineup changes for tomorrow? Obviously, they're going to have to replace Grizzlick probably with more, but Dale was suggesting that maybe Backes sits for Game 3. I think they should leave it, at least for Game 3, see what happens. Would you do anything?
It's a good question. I hadn't really thought of it. You know, they could keep it the same this game, you know, just because it's 1-1. And they're going to have to make an adjustment on the back end. So if you make another adjustment up front, that's two or three guys coming into the lineup that haven't been there. But it's certainly, that's the beauty of the Bruins. They have options. And we've seen them use a bunch of guys and have those guys come in and play big roles. So, you know, certainly the coaching staff has that in the back pocket. I think they stick with Backes just for the physicality of the series so far.
I assume you had no issues with the suspension for Sundquist?
I didn't. You know, I thought they got it right. I think I would assume the league would have rather it had it been a 5 in a game and not had to suspend them.
But I think officials are afraid to give a 5-minute power play.
They are. And you know, in their defense, you know, rightly so, after what's happened so far, I think those guys are gun-shy and they want to make, you know, it's a tough spot for those guys, especially after the last couple months. I think they're trying to do their best, but yeah, I think the suspension's right because of the fact that he has to sit a game for what he did, whether it was last game or this game.
Do you expect them to come out? Now, I know they had two periods to do it, but Matt Grizzlick goes down, brutal, probably done for the playoffs. They haven't announced that yet, but he's obviously not going to play tomorrow night. Do you see the Bruins maybe even going out of their way to try to send a message and you know, a little retaliation for Grizzlick?
I don't see it in the fact, you know, I think they want to make them pay on the scoreboard. They, you know, the guys have talked about it, Cassidy's talked about it. I think that's how they want to make them pay at this time of year. Certainly, you know, Chara's not going to turn down a lick or Backes or one of these guys if they get a chance. But again, we saw when you go looking for that, and you know, we Charlie McAvoy getting suspended in Columbus, and you know, he went that extra mile to go get a lick on a guy that he was kind of sick of after 5 or 6 games, and it can cost you, especially the way they're calling these hits, and they're not afraid to suspend guys. You don't want to go out of your way to get a guy and then, you know, have it cost you game 4. So I think that's in the back of all their heads, but without question, they're going to be physical and on their, especially on their better players and on their back end.
I think it's safe to say that the Bruins have the talent advantage in this final series against St. Louis. Craig Berube played a certain way as a player. I think he's coached his team to play a certain way. The San Jose Sharks think that the Blues were going out of their way to try to take players out. We've seen in the first two games of this series, the Blues, Patrick Maroon, Blay, other guys, Perron, going out of their way to take shots. I think Berube's just decided it's the only way he can win this series.
I agree. And the reality is, it is, right? They can't get into a track meet with the Bruins. And, you know, they have to play a hard forechecking game and they have to wear down the defenseman, you know, across the board. And it is the only way. They cannot get into a skating match with these guys. And, again, I think if the Bruins were able to click on their power play the first two games, I think it's a blowout, you know, both games. So I looked at that. I thought that was going to be a big advantage. The St. Louis Blues didn't have a fantastic PK, and I thought the Bruins were going to take advantage in the faceoff dot a little bit more. And we didn't see that in Game 2. That doesn't mean it can't happen in Game 3 and 4.
Final question before we let you go, and there have been reports. Elliot Friedman told the radio station in St. Louis he thinks Bergeron is battling a groin injury. Christian Fourier on this station yesterday said he hears Marchand's battling a hand injury. Do you see any evidence of those things?
You know, you can go to that and say there's something. And my buddy, I got four texts this morning from some of my buddies. Hey, what's the scoop on Bergeron? And you know, again, he's played through a lot in his career. There's got to be, you know, there's probably something. There's probably something to all of this. But at the end of the day, he's rolling out there. So if he's rolling out there, we've seen him play with injuries before at a high level and win faceoffs at a high level with an injury. So, you know, I don't think Patrice would use it as an excuse, but at this time of year, there's guys with it. And every game they go without scoring a point, that's where we're going to go to. But if they get three goals tomorrow night, we won't be talking about a groin injury or a hand injury. To me, personally, it doesn't look like Marchand has any hand injury issues. Patrice playing low minutes makes me think he might have something, but again, I it would be a complete guess.
Andrew, we always appreciate the time, pal. We'll talk to you again.
Awesome, guys. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Andrew Raycroft, former Bruins goaltender, my Nesson colleague. He was the guy, for people who don't know, traded by the Bruins to the Toronto Maple Leafs for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
Pretty good.
And the rest is history.
pretty good.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. He does agree, by the way, in this day and age, yes, the Blues are running Tuukka Rask.
Yeah,
in the old days, it wouldn't be that big a deal, but nowadays, the way they're protecting players, mm-hmm. yes, they're... He made up a great point I hadn't thought about, is what are the angle of the skates? And that's the thing he uses as his determining factor. If the skates are parallel to the goalie, they're probably trying to avoid hitting him.
Right.
If the skates are pointing directly at the goalie...
I think they're going at him.
Yeah, it might be going at him.
I agree.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Kiefer Madness coming up at 12:30, our week in review. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dale.
Thank you for being a friend.
And I've been dying to tell you this.
Travel down the road and back again.
I've been listening to you.
Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
Since I was in my 20s.
And if you threw a party.
You're like an icon.
Invited everyone you knew.
And I just want to say thanks.
You would see the biggest gift would be for me. And the car.
But I just really just wanted to say thank you.
You're welcome.
That's all you had to say. I was very kind. I was a caller earlier today. Wanted to call in. Been thinking about that for years. Decided today was the day.
Thank you.
Thank you. No, thank you.
No,
Rich. Thanks is all on this side of the table, Dale.
Thank you, Rich.
All right.
Couple of Patriots items here on a Falls Count Anywhere Friday.
Anything goes.
So... Sports Illustrated and their crack staff at SI.com at the MMQB has put together a round table. Last week, they offered up teams that improved the most this offseason. This week, today, they offer up eight teams that got worse.
Oh, boy.
And the New England Patriots are on that list.
Well, they probably should be, right?
Oh, no, I can't even disagree.
Yeah, you can't disagree.
As they said, over the past 4 months, only one team... lost the greatest player ever to play his position.
That's true.
Rob Gronkowski had lost maybe a half step. But
I would say he definitely did, but okay. But still, that's a huge loss. Absolutely.
And, you know, the second most valuable player on the Patriots isn't there, at least to start.
Right.
And as they say, so New England lost the greatest tight end in NFL history and is replacing him with Austin Seferian Jenkins.
Yikes.
Who is not the second or even the third greatest tight end in NFL history.
No, he's not.
Or at least it will be Seferian Jenkins until Ben Watson returns from suspension and takes his job on account of Seferian Jenkins not being particularly good.
Or healthy. He's always hurt, that guy. And then you get Ben Watson back, who is, what, 38? Somewhere. He's up there, too. So I don't even know. But yeah, that is a huge loss. And oh, by the way, Trey Flowers and Trent Brown. So you're missing a tight end.
They're worse.
A left tackle.
Yeah.
And a right defensive end. That's pretty significant. Now, we've had this debate several times over the last, I guess, two decades.
By the way, your wide receiving core is a little shallow, too.
It's not great. But, Dale, if you take the best team and make them worse, it doesn't necessarily mean they're now the 10th best team.
Oh, no, he's not saying.
No, I know he's not. That's sort of the point is the one team every year who can afford to be a little bit worse and still win is the team that just won. That's like in every sport. You can be a little bit worse, but guess what? You were the best team. And so the guys that they lost, they're going to be a little bit worse. Now, they bring in Michael Bennett to hopefully make up for Trey Flowers. Isaiah Wynn's going to have an opportunity to step in there and be the left tackle and hopefully be as good, maybe even better, but at least as good as Trent Brown. Some of the other guys, okay, you're swapping them in, swapping them out. The tight end one is the most glaring, but it's not as bad as if they had lost 2017 Gronk, who was an all-pro and everything else. You lost 2018 Gronk, who was very good, but how many times when talking about Gronk this year did you have to highlight the blocking rather than just talking about how many touchdowns he has and what a red zone menace he was?
And yet he closed his career with...
finished on a high note.
Some pretty nice catching, too.
Finished on a real high note, and so they don't have that right now. They have like five or six tight ends. You don't really want any of them. That's what they have. So, yeah, there's no doubt that they're worse.
There was a piece written by Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, in which the former head coach of Arizona State, a guy by the name of Todd Graham, told Jeff Howe of The Athletic that the night of the draft, Bill Belichick called Graham. Belichick told me, man, we were so fortunate that he was still there. They were so glad he was still available. They had him graded a lot higher than where he was taken in the first round. Now, generally speaking, you know, it's one of those, we can't believe he was there. We had to take him. That's not the case here. This
they
is Belichick.
Said that about Tavon Wilson. Yeah. They said that about Daron Harmon.
This is
they
Belichick talking to a coach because he's not telling the media any of this stuff. And he didn't know the coach was then going to go out and spill this stuff to Jeff Howe.
Yeah, something tells me he's not going to be talking to Todd Graham very much after this. I don't think he really wants that part
out there.
I don't
know where Todd is coaching because he's no longer at Arizona State.
But he's obviously high on him. But also it was the way that the draft went out, or the way that the draft played out, I should say, because Harry was the second wide receiver taken in the whole draft. There wasn't one taken until 25 this year. Marquise Brown went at 25, and then Harry goes at 32. So, you know, you look at some of the quarterbacks that went ahead of them, so maybe they didn't have, you know, Haskins or Daniel Jones rated that high. So they probably had him. It doesn't say specifically here, but maybe somewhere in the teens. Like if they were ranking all the best players that they felt, and they're also not, they ended up drafting for need, but they don't normally do that. Like this sort of worked out where they probably thought he was the best player available and, oh, it also happened to be a position that they desperately need.
Florio points out that they had to have felt very strongly about N'Keal Harry because, let's be honest, over the years, they have not done a very good job taking wide receivers in the higher rounds of the draft.
That's the worst position they have.
They talk about Aaron Dobson in the second round, Taylor Price in the third round, Brandon Tate in the third round, Chad Jackson in the second, Bethel Johnson in the second. Now, Deion Branch, second rounder in 2002, that was a hit.
Yeah.
But they've had a lot of misses.
17 years
ago. Yeah.
Right? And I know some people say, oh, well, you're going back a ways for Chad Jackson. It's like, well, you got to go back even further to find a guy that hit. Yeah, that's just been a spot. Like, cornerback has been another one that's kind of up and down. And, you know, every team misses out on guys. But the wide receivers, that has been the worst spot in the 20 years for the Patriots. And hopefully Harry's different.
And the Patriots point out today, 100 days from today, they will unveil the new banner.
Can't wait.
At Gillette Stadium.
Looking
so they may be worse.
Mm-hmm.
They are, probably. They're still going to unveil their sixth Super Bowl banner 100 days from today. 617-779-7937. We get right back to the calls with you. Coming up next, Kiefer Madness, bottom of the hour, our week in review. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.